You're listening to Clack Radio, produced by members of the Anti-Capitalist Convergence of Montreal. In April of 2001, we watched as tens of thousands of people took to the streets to oppose the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas Agreement, in Quebec City. As these protests were inspiring and hopeful for many people, police and state repression took a toll on the streets and is now being fought out in the courts. The Quebec Legal Collective has been active in defending those arrested on the streets in Quebec City, and as sentences for those arrested are now being nailed down, the Quebec Legal Collective is fighting for justice in the courts. Peter from Quebec Legal comments.
A lot of the trials that have been going on right now, for the most part, the people who have been charged by indictment are going through their preliminary inquiries. For the most part, people are being cited for trial, which is normal. Preliminary inquiries have become just kind of a procedural thing now, which the trials will probably be starting in the fall, we expect, for people who've been charged with riot and some of the other offenses. We've had a couple of people acquitted, which has been, you know, a good sign. We've got one judgment from a judge saying that sitting down, we have a lot of charges of obstruction. One of the judges has said that people sitting down and refusing to move is not obstruction of police, which is a really good thing for a lot of people who've been charged. There have been a couple of other people who've been acquitted because the police just can't seem to tell stories that are that make sense or that get contradicted by what's on the videos and things like that. We do have a few cases where things aren't going as well. There were two guys from PEI who have been found guilty of unlawful assembly. They were basically sitting in a group of six or seven people. They were dressed in black. They, you know, had protective equipment on, and the police jumped them. This was on the Sunday afternoon. The police jumped them and charged them on unlawful assembly. They found a slingshot on one of them, so they were charged with possession of a weapon as well. And one of them with obstruction of police because they got jumped by plainclothes police and. I guess they were supposed to know that they were police and, you know, you're not supposed to yell help or anything like that. So they were found guilty and sentenced to 45 days. Obviously, we're appealing, and the chances that sentence is going to hold up on appeal are pretty slim. But it does set a pretty dangerous precedent as far as unlawful assembly goes, because one of the things that the judge cited in his decision was that they were dressed the same way as people who had been throwing Molotovs and rocks and things like that the day before or in the days previous. So in other words, they were arrested. The police had a reasonable grounds to believe that they would disturb the peace because of the way they were dressed. And that's a pretty dangerous precedent insofar as you can be arrested because of what you look like or the way that you're dressed is pretty worrying for us and for a lot of the cases that we're defending. Obviously, the judges have a tendency to believe what the police say and to disbelieve what the defendants are saying because they're not professional witnesses. The police are professional witnesses. They know what they can and how to say things in court so that judges believe them. That gives us a pretty significant disadvantage in terms of trying to defend people. But other than that, things are going ahead. Well, I think one of the things that's really important for the courts is that they appear legitimate. And one of the things that makes courts legitimate is their support in public opinion. Courts are an institution that are highly supported by people in Canada, or the courts see themselves as being highly supported by the people in Canada, and they are affected by public opinion, even though they'll pretend not to be. They know that if they start making decisions that go against public opinion, their legitimacy is going to fall apart. So in that sense, I think that any challenge to their legitimacy is something that we really need to take on, and that's because that's how the state justifies their actions against dissent and their repression of dissent, and therefore if we want to work against that and combat that, then we need to be open about it and take things head on. on the one hand, I think it's very dangerous in terms of the justice system criminalizing dissent in the way that that is happening here. On the other hand, I don't see it as that surprising. I think that that's what the justice system was set up to do. The justice system is an arm of the state. It's not like the state is going to put up with resistance to the state. And I think that, so in that sense, I don't think it comes as too much of a surprise that the state's going to defend itself. And the way that the state defends itself is through the so-called justice system.
As the trials for Quebec City illustrate the legalities of the anti-FTAA protests last April, every day the courts are used often against radical political organizing here in Montreal. COBP, who organized a demonstration on March 15th in Montreal to oppose police brutality, saw 371 people arrested. The March 15th demonstration marked a clear attempt to criminalize dissent and street protests to silence the voice of those fighting for social justice. Bernard Cooper of COBP comments on this increasing criminalization of dissent and the efforts being made to combat it.
Okay, March 15th this year, 371 people encircled in a surprise attack by the police. Very, very little happened. I mean, the police did not really manage to communicate that what their intentions were. And they exaggerated also. They outrightly lied about the extent of any events that took place that would cause them to want to crack down. They claimed that six windows were broken at the police headquarters when, in fact, by all records that we have and witnesses of that, and I think this will come out in the evidence, there were two windows that were damaged in some way. And, you know, I suppose some people might want to debate, you know, as to, you know, zero tolerance towards any kind of vandalism, and two windows is two windows too many. But the reality is that historically that is an exaggerated response for two broken windows at a demo with 400 or 500 people there. And especially given what type of demo it is. It's a demo demonstrating against police repression. And you would think the police would want to avoid criticism of mass arrests of people protesting against police abuse of power. And they don't. They feel emboldened by this. What does this mean? This is just part of the larger phenomenon of less tolerance for dissident expression of opinion. And what does this mean for to take the Capitol demo at the end of June? I think that I think there are ways of countering this. I don't think people should just be resigned that, oh, you know, this is the kind of climate we live in and things are dangerous now and you just got to take your lumps. I don't think people should be resigned to that. They don't need to be either. I think what it requires is for people to organize themselves better, to have adequate communication, to test these things in advance and not rely on scenarios, you know, about how it's going to work, to meet, to discuss eventualities in this, and to organize yourselves to communicate effectively and to decide what you're going to communicate effectively to a demo in terms of information and counsel of what you think the demo should do given the information you have about what the cops are doing. Those things, I think, need to be worked out better. And I think people come to demos as well, you know, who want to express themselves in a way where maybe it puts at risk, you know, things for arrest. Possibly they should maybe be more, they should, let's say that they should keep in mind about these kinds of things and maybe realize that there's consequences and be prepared maybe to help people out if necessary to avoid being ensnared by the police. You know, it's a hard thing to say, but by no means it would by no means be a new thing done for people to, you know, let's speak plainly, to break out of a police encirclement. And I think this is coming, these kinds of things. They've certainly been done in Europe. There's certainly a long culture of that kind of militant, you know, rumbling with the cops. And invariably, you know, I'm not counseling anybody to do that. I'm not even saying that it's going to happen anytime soon. But if the social and political and economic circumstances worsen, you know, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen because it has happened in the past.
OCAP, an organization which has been active in social justice organizing for over 10 years, finds its roots and resistance in the poor and homeless communities of Toronto. On June 15th of 2000, OCAP organized a demonstration which approached the Ontario Legislature to demand more aid for those living on the street, to restore the neoliberal economic cuts of the Tory government of Ontario. This demonstration ended with confrontation and police violence towards OCAP. In the courts, OCAP is now dealing with the continued repression through the legal system. John Hodgins of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty comments on the June 15th trials and OCAP's work.
It's an attempt to crush OCAP, to crush the organization. It's not been a successful attempt at all. I think that has to be very clear. I think OCAP is in a lot of ways stronger than it's ever been, and is out of this stuff very strong. It certainly has hurt us. I mean, there are people on trial now for the whole spring and all of this summer. The people's trials from our June 15th action a few years ago are happening. Verdicts are coming down. You know, people are being acquitted, but people are also going down for this, are getting sentenced. And I mean, that's very much the state's tactic, I think, especially in terms of people they've targeted. They've targeted John Clark and Gaetan Haru and Stephen Pilipa, who are key organizers, but they've also, you know, targeted a lot of people who went to the demonstration who aren't even OCAP members. And I think it's very much about trying to create a climate of fear around dissent and around protest. The fall was, it was a larger scale campaign. You know, it was focused on direct action in a very specific way. It was about causing economic disruption, you know, to the large corporations that back, you know, the right-wing government in Ontario, and saying, you know, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep screwing with your business until you act on our demands. And it's not charity we're asking for. We're going to force you into this situation. I kind of feel like what's more important to me is how the people we work with feel about the work we do, how our members, the people who come to our actions, and the people who are our constituency, you know, poor people and homeless people, react to the work we do and how it politicizes them and stuff like that. And I think, you know, OCAP gets condemned from all over, but the people that we work for, that we see on a daily basis or work with, are very strengthened by the kind of work we do. And I think that's what's most important about it. I don't care if the newspapers are saying that a bunch of hooligans, you know, burn newspaper boxes or whatever. What I care about is the people are out on the street.
CLAC, the Anti-Capitalist Convergence of Montreal, is fighting against this war on dissent and social justice organizing. As we lead up towards the anti-G8 actions in Ottawa on June 26th and 27th, CLAC is organizing with the belief that those on the streets facing the state and police repression are a voice of many and continue in the struggle. You can find out more information about Quebec Legal at www.quebeclegal.org. You can find out more information about the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty at www.ocap.ca. CLAC's next General Assembly is on Tuesday, May 28th at LIX, 182 St. Catherine East at 7 p.m. To get more information, visit www.quebec2001.net, call 514-409-2049, email CLAC@tao.ca.